Hey, it's Maggie. I can't get to my phone right now. You know what to do.
Dude, Maggie, I have something to tell you. You gotta call me back.
You can only bottle that up for so long until it affects
your physical
every
health.
Aspect of your life.
I'm not as fucked up as sometimes my brain tells me I am.
Mental health in sport is so hard. But why do we have physical education and not mental health education?
To be human is so beautiful and delicate and frustrating and so chaotic and constantly changing. And like, we can still make a life worth living.
Hey, it's Maggie
and Tia,
and this is
Call Your BFF.
Welcome. Happy Mental Health Awareness Month.
It's Tia's month.
It's Tia's
month.
As
a professional.
Yes. I live for this month, even though I wish every month was Mental Health Awareness Month.
When did Mental Health Awareness Month become like a thing? I feel like I don't remember it until I was in college.
Right. Let's Google. Apparently, it started back in 1949.
Oh, so long before.
Yes.
I remembered.
Interesting.
That's very early.
Yes. And you know, that's really interesting
on...
too, because it's never really felt like more of a focus until within the past, I think, like maybe 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to say like five, six years.
Yeah. So that's really interesting that since 1949, mental health was being raised awareness, yet our culture was still so against therapy.
That's true too.
That's wild.
I didn't even think about that. Because like our parents' generation, therapy was like, you were in like,
you went to the psych ward.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like, there's just so many different levels of care. And some of it is, like, going to the hospital. Some of it's, like, residential, outpatient, intensive outpatients. Like, there's just so many more, from what I understand, differences of what you can do to get help for your mental health.
Yeah. I think one of the things, too, with the Mental Health Awareness Month that's being brought more into picture nowadays is, like, the mental health is health
yes.
piece. That it's, like, that's important. But, and I know, like, the time this is coming out, we have a super fun interview
yes.
with your coworkers coming out yes. at the end of the month where we talked about this more. But, like, the premise of, like, not having to have a diagnosis to be struggling with like mental health mm-hmm. or not having to have a diagnosis to like take care of yourself in different ways.
Right. And I love how you, it is. And like, I love how you bring up like mental health is health
yeah.
because like our brain and our bodies work so well together or not so well together,
yeah.
depending on
they're
the person.
They're either connected or they're disconnected.
Right. And like with mental health therapy, it helps like reconnect everything. And same with like going to your doctor or like physical therapist or things to like retrain our brains to do certain things mm-hmm. to help us just live healthy lives, no matter where you are, what you want to do. Like if you're eating healthy for your body, if you're drinking enough water for your body, if you're talking kindly to yourself,
mm-hmm.
that's wellness.
That's it.
That's the episode.
Circle.
Yeah.
That's the episode.
Thank you for coming to Mental Health Awareness Month.
Take care of yourselves.
You got this. And as Tyler would say, just go to bed if it's not okay.
Yeah, if you're not having a good
start
day,
tomorrow.
Just go to bed.
Yep.
But we figured we would take today's episode as a mm-hmm. chance to kind of just share a bit about more of like our personal journeys with mental health and just like the natural ups and downs of life and just kind of like normalizing emotions and normalizing feelings.
Yeah.
It's okay to feel things, and I feel like that's definitely been more of a, like, important topic, I guess, nowadays. But mm-hmm. I think there's still a lot of, what is it called, like, stigma around.
Yeah.
So, like, in your, obviously, in your profession, you're mm-hmm. a mental health therapist
yeah.
for the youth.
All the youths.
But what does, like, Mental Health Awareness Month mean to you as somebody mm-hmm. in the profession?
Great question. So, I think for
I feel like we're interviewing
me,
each other now that we're not on the screen.
Now we're, like, staring into each other's eyes.
By the way, Tia and I are together.
Yes. Woo! The best day ever. But I would say, like, Mental Health Awareness Month is, like, the month to, like, really get people to, like, start thinking about, like, their mental health and what that can look like. If, like, you feel like your health and wellness is great, awesome. How can you support someone else who might be struggling?
Mm-hmm.
So when I think when I think about it, like, it's, like, for my work, I work for a non-for-profit. So a lot of, like, Mental Health Awareness Month is trying to, like, raise awareness into, like, what our agency does and try to get people to support our cause to help the youth in the Appleton-Green Bay area mm-hmm. to make sure that, like,
kids are able to like cope well and be functioning adults by the time they walk out of our doors.
Yeah.
So I think for me, it's a lot of just like advocacy work and just like advocating for those that really struggle to get their mental health figured out or don't have the resources or the lack of support. And I mean, this could be a whole insurance debate talk as well of like how we can support people, because insurance doesn't always make that easy for people to get the help that they deserve.
Which is unfortunate.
It's sad. Because
I think that's one of the biggest things is like, and you've said it before too, like at some point, like everybody could benefit from seeing a therapist. And it's not even like, oh, you need therapy. It's like, you just need somebody to talk to that's not like a friend, a parent, like somebody that, not that they're going to judge you, but like somebody that you can just be completely like open and honest and with and not have any of that. Like, if I say this to my mom, what if it comes off wrong? Or like, how is it going to make her feel? Like there's certain conversations that you can have with a therapist that you can't necessarily have with a loved one. Not in like a bad way.
No, and I think with like our loved ones, like we can predict, like if I know like I'm feeling some type of way and I want someone who's gonna be like,
I'm mad too.
Right. Like that's I know like I'm gonna get that response from Maggie. And like I know like from my mom it's like similar, but she's gonna like call me out on my shit. Or sometimes I'm like, I don't wanna be called out right now.
I want you to agree with me and we ride at dawn.
Always at dawn. And then, like, I love, like, going to therapy now because I'm able to, like, have that space to reflect on, like, all the things. I know I'm not getting any bias. I think that's like,
the word I was looking for.
Huge difference about, like, going to therapy is, like, she's only hearing my perception and my perspective on things. And she has no idea who half the people are. She knows about Maggie, though, because I talk about the podcast. And, like, my family and Brady and stuff. And she's able to, like, give me different points of view to think about that, like, even my loved ones wouldn't think about either. And, like, I think that's the piece of, like, mental health therapy that's so beautiful is that that person's there to, like, only listen to you. Their, like, emotions and their baggage don't get pulled into that conversation. Because I know, like, sometimes, like, when I'm trying to, like, get support from, like, a loved one, their baggage gets pulled in and it can cause an argument or it can lead down to paths that are just, like, I just wanted to feel validated and heard. And, like, I think we can find that in our, like, day-to-day life, but that mental health piece, like, it's nice just to have someone that's just there.
Unbiased.
And also would ride at dawn for you, too.
Yes. There's always the ride at dawn friend.
Always. But I think you and I probably got involved with, like, mental health around the same time.
Yeah, I think I became very aware of it in college.
Yeah, and
I,
like, me too.
And it was just one of those things where I think it was still under that. And maybe this was, like, kind of, like, a not, like, cultural, but, like, it wasn't as talked about, even, like, when we were in high school.
Right.
Because I remember as a kid in, like, specifically third grade, we moved, and I literally moved, like, two towns over. It wasn't a huge ordeal. But we moved, and I went to a new school, and I was having such bad anxiety that I would miss almost every other day of, like, school for, like, the beginning of the year. And then I started seeing our school counselor, and I remember spending every lunch period in her office for an entire year. Yeah. But I was, like, making myself sick with, like, anxiety. And I had gone to the doctor. I had done gluten-free. I had done, like, all these different, like, diets, like, no dairy.
No red food dye.
Experimented with all this stuff. Yeah, because it was, like, every morning, conveniently, I was waking up with a stomach ache and I wasn't feeling good and I was, like, physically make myself sick.
Yeah.
And so my mom was, like, kept taking me to the doctor and was, like, we don't know what's wrong. I started seeing, I don't know how it, like, kind of evolved from, like, doctor to seeing the school counselor. I never went outside of school for therapy, but just having somebody to talk to at school, like, made a huge difference. And I suffered, like, that entire year. And after that, I was, like, I was fine.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was like, and I didn't want people to know. Like, I didn't, I'm like, okay, so I'm the new kid and I'm going and seeing the school counselor. And I would eat my lunch there every day. And it was like, in elementary school, in third grade, that was like embarrassing. It was like, you don't want anybody to know that. And now, I don't know. I mean, you would know more from, like, a kid perspective, like, how that's, I guess, like, perceived. But I guess us looking back as adults, it's like, okay, well, that's important. And if you're having those feelings and you're dealing with that kind of shit, like, you need to go talk to somebody.
Right.
But unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't think it's as stigmatized today.
No.
In school. And I think, like,
I mean, there's going to be the asshole kid who's like, oh, you go to the counselor's office.
There's,
like,
always going to be a bully.
There always is going to be that bully. But I do think a lot of kids, depending on, like, your friend group and, like, depending on, like, different situations, like, some kids that I work with,
Like, they're so open with their friends. They're like, T and I talked about this today. Or, like, I think about, like, oh, mm-hmm. like, what would my therapist tell me in this moment? And, like, things like that. Whereas other kids are like, none of my friends know. I don't want them to know. So I think that a lot of it is, too, like, just personal preference of, like, what you're going through and what what you want people to know.
Self-confidence, self-esteem type thing.
Oh, my gosh,
I think that's where mine was, like, I didn't have any of that. So it was, like, I'm not confident. I don't have any, like, self-worth to myself as a, like, what age am I in third grade? Nine-year-old.
Yeah.
So I don't need people knowing this about me type thing.
And you were new.
Yeah. But then I guess like that would be my like stint, quote unquote, with like mental health at a young age that I don't remember it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more of like, I remember the days of like waking up and just crying and being like, I don't feel good. And that was the only way that I could express it to my parents was like, I don't feel good. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I'm not going to school. And so that was like a whole year worth of
trying to figure it out.
But, and not recognizing at the time, like what that was or why I was feeling those different ways, or like maybe there was something else going on in my life outside of like a move that I was like really anxious about. But then like, I was fine. Then from then on out, I mean, we all have our issues, but like, I didn't really like deal with any of that kind of anxiety to that extreme. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was like, obviously you go from like middle school to high school and you're nervous.
Right.
But high school to college. Yeah. Like that extreme as it was then. But then, yeah, I think you and I more kind of were dealing with it similar situations like in college where it was kind of like thrown onto us a bit of like how important mental health was. And it was probably, I don't know where you wanted to go with this, but like,
we can go anywhere.
I think us being in situations where we were having to help
support
a friend was like an eye-opening, I know, at least from my experience of like, oh shit, this is like,
we were terrified.
This is impacting me. Now I know how important this is. Whereas like, and it's like, it feels shitty to say, but unless you're faced with that kind of stuff, you don't not believe, but you don't understand. It's like, oh, you're sad? Like,
then everyone's sad.
Go do something about it. Oh, this happened to you? Well, deal with it, like type thing. And then it's like, oh, you start realizing like, oh, my friend is going through something. I don't know how she feels. I just see what's happening to her and I don't know what, like how to help. But I know it's like something serious. And so seeing that happen in college, putting us in a position where it was like, we had to be the support friend that didn't know what we were doing, how to support, but knew it was serious enough that we needed to go find somebody to help was like, okay, mental health like is important. And like, that's when I started kind of like, I mean, you were learning about it in school
and
you
were in psych
and all of that. I just always thought like it was an interesting component, but never related it to my life because I wasn't struggling to like a point where I was ever saying that I had like was going through anything like mental health.
Yeah.
And I was thankfully in a position where I hadn't seen that in my life. Like I didn't have it in parental figures or family figures.
Right.
And I wasn't surrounded by anybody that the conversation from my mom ever had to come up with, like, this person is dealing with something or, you know, that kind of stuff. So seeing it firsthand in like college was like, oh, wow. Like people out there struggle.
It's
like
sad.
Like, how do they get to this point? And so that's when I like really started
to notice.
I
agree. I feel like
be aware of it. Awareness.
Awareness. Welcome to our month of awareness. Yeah. But I agree. Like, I think a lot of like my earlier memories, even like in school with like the guidance counselor, was group classes about like the fun, like building
how to
activities.
Be happy.
Right. Like what are coping skills? Even though none of them were like actually coping skills, like that stuff. And then in high school, I had a friend who really, really struggled, like has now been diagnosed with like schizophrenia and like had a lot of ideations and like self-defeating behaviors and would be really open to me about that. And I was that when we were freshmen, so what, 14, 15 at the time. And he would call and like tell me what was going on. And at one point I was like, I can't do anything. This is out of my control. So I went to our school counselor and I was like, this is out of my wheelhouse. Like, I feel that he's unsafe. Like, I don't know how to support him. And like, I'm just scared for him. And he ended up like going to the hospital and like getting support. And actually, like when I was in grad school, he like messaged and was like, hey, I never said thank you. Like, cause we didn't talk after that. Like
totally cut off that friendship, but he was just like, you know what? Like, you're the reason I'm alive today because you helped me get the help that I needed. And he has a wife and like two kids now and like wow. living his best life. So like that was probably like my first flavor of like, oh shit, this is scary. And mm-hmm. then you forget about it, right? Because right. like we have our own stuff
Sadly,
going on.
You just
and
move on with your life.
Right. And then with our college friend too, like that was another flavor of it. And like for me personally, like with therapy, like I never went to therapy until like grad school when we like were forced to do it because we had to like see from the other side what was it like. And I had an intern, which there's nothing wrong with interns. I was an intern at 1.2, but the intern I had I could tell was just doing her assignments that she had to get done
just
and like
getting it done.
Right, and like didn't take me seriously, which also like at that point in my life I wasn't ready to talk about a lot of things.
Yeah,
even though like grad school I had to face a lot of my demons to like figure out like what's gonna trigger me when I'm in an office like helping other people. Mm-hmm. And like be just like the self-awareness that I've had to accumulate from grad school until like working. And I always talk to like Brady about this too. I'm like, I'm overly self-aware because that's what I have to do my job well. And it comes with blessings and curses, right? Like I love how self-aware I am. And man, is it a lot of emotions I feel because of how self-aware I am. And with recently going into therapy, like that I think has been like a game changer for me because I've always known I should go. Mm-hmm. Like I have baggage from my past that like I have resentments towards and like frustration pieces that like impact my thought processes today and impact my friendships and my relationships. And I'm constantly wanting to grow and be the best version of myself. And therapy was like a really big puzzle piece for me. And it still terrifies me. Every freaking week I go, not that I go like every week, but like every other or every three,
every
whatever it is.
Go, yeah.
yeah. I'm anxious because I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do this. This isn't fun. I always cry. Classic.
Yeah.
Always crying. But
which is okay.
Which is, it's beautiful to cry. And I've learned that it's a superpower to cry because that's, you're letting out your emotions. And through therapy, I've been able to like really get that sense of relief of like, okay,
mm-hmm.
I'm not as fucked up as sometimes my brain tells me I am.
Right.
I'm stronger than what I see myself to be. And my mental health is my strength. Like I can do well. I can feel my emotions. Which I think with Mental Health Awareness Month too, everyone always talks about, oh, do self-care, be happy,
take
be
a
this.
Bubble bath.
Right.
Go
do your face
walk.
Mask.
Those are great things.
Pet a puppy.
Yeah.
We love those. And like we need
talk
to feel
about your shit.
Yes. Like we need to feel sad. We need to feel angry. We need to feel irritated. Like
express.
We need to express all of those emotions. So we can feel happy. Because if
yeah.
we felt happy all the time, we wouldn't actually.
And I think you might have brought this up when we recorded with your coworkers,
yeah.
but you've brought this up before of like, you can't just always be happy.
Right.
You have to have
it's impossible.
Times. Like,
it's hard. And like
yeah.
one thing I feel like with social media too is that it has created this like facade that like we have to be happy
yeah.
all of the time. And like I've recently been following just like more like therapy things and just like dog things and like things that like fill up my cup more than like seeing like what everyone's doing, because that's like when FOMO kicks in and just like
mm-hmm.
why am I not further in my life than what I am now?
Yeah.
And like that comparison piece. So I think like
yeah.
with social media, there's even more pressure on us to like chase the high, good vibes only, like all of these things
mm-hmm.
when okay, but I need to feel sad. I need to cry when I'm upset, and I need to cry when I'm happy because I laugh so hard I bring myself to tears.
Yeah.
Like every emotion for Tia is tears, and like that's something I've really grown to love about myself, because make sure it makes me drink a lot of water so I'm hydrated. And because like there's just those chemicals that go into our brain when we do release tears, like there's that oxytocin and like I can't remember all the other ones, but like things that just help us feel better and that like
yeah
to let it out.
There's like 3 points that I was gonna bring up as you were talking,
mm-hmm.
but one of them being kind of like our age and talking
yeah.
about like not really realizing stuff earlier or not being aware
mm-hmm.
of not being aware of mental health or not being aware that something was affecting us as much as it was. But then boom, brain was fully
Trigger.
Developed at 25 and I felt everything. But it was like you graduate and then you're figuring out your life. You're in a transitional phase where everything's like confusing and you're like, your one friend's doing this, your other friend's doing this, another one's married, another one dropped out of school. Like
mm-hmm.
you don't know, no, like your life is in chaos for like in unstructured chaos
yeah.
for
yeah.
one of the first times of your life, because you've spent K through 12 and now
structured as hell
another four. If mm-hmm. you decided to go to college. Otherwise, if you graduate high school, you're in the same boat. Like,
right.
your life has been structured up until this point. And I know, like, when August rolled around,
mm-hmm.
a year after graduation,
yeah.
I was a mess.
Because
it was, like, everything I've known from
Your whole life.
What age would I have started kindergarten?
Like five.
2001? Like,
yeah.
Was every August, school started, swim team started.
Yep.
My sports started. I saw my friends again. And then August 2018 rolled around. And guess what? I wasn't doing shit. I was looking for a job. I was, well, I was working three jobs, looking for a full-time job.
Yep.
All my friends were in different stages. I was single as a Pringle. Like,
yep, same.
And it's just like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? Like, I don't know.
You feel like you're doing everything wrong.
And then I go home.
You are doing everything right.
Right. So it's a weird time, but then kind of like using that to like move into, it's like, that's when, and that's where your like science part comes in.
Yeah.
Like your brain isn't done fully developing even when you graduate college.
Right. Cause it's like 26.
And I think, and I've been recognizing it more in like friends or just people that I know that are like hitting this time in their life. And like, not that we're older and wiser, but like able to go back and reflect a bit and see like how our past 4 years have been and how much it's changed since then too. And it's like,
and every year has changed so much.
Like it's like little things just like connect pieces and you're just like, do you ever just like randomly blank out and you're like, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Like, the aha moment.
The aha moment of like, oh.
I'm like, exactly where I need to
or
be.
Or like, or recognizing like a behavior or we were talking about this on our walk this morning. It's like,
we should have recorded then.
I know. Like having this really like messed up thought in your head and then being like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. And like having it reflect back and remembering a part of your childhood that was like, oh, wait. That's what stemmed from.
This makes sense.
This makes sense. And that's where it's like.
That's growth.
Yeah. That's growth. And like, you know, it's sometimes it can be a mental health topic because it brings up stuff from past. And that's where like talking to somebody and obviously that whole thing. But yeah, I think like the actual brain science behind it, like
it's
that's
wild.
Where I would just like go ham of like trying to understand it.
And just like development.
And the development, but there's so much that you're dealing with as a 21 to 28 year old.
Yeah.
That's like, so there's so much going on that's like, it's no wonder why when kids graduate high school or college and get into this kind of like position where it's like suddenly it seems like everybody's struggling with their mental health because we're all in a very vulnerable situation. And then we're backtracking and dealing with like stuff that we would push away because we're all chasing this happiness for eight whole years of high school and college of being like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm just going to keep going with my life. And so it's like, unfortunately, yes, there are people that have struggled way more than, I mean, when we're talking about this, like neither of us have ever been one diagnosed with anything or really ever suffered to a point where it's been like that
extreme
severe or concerning really to our loved ones.
Right.
But have had our own little silent battles or stuff that we would talk about with each other or other friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's what I was trying to get at. It's like, people do struggle much more than what we're talking about here. So we recognize that. But I think just for like the majority of people, and when it comes to mental health, it's like sometimes it seems like they hit a wall at a certain point in their life. And it's like, that's completely normal. And again, just because you're not like diagnosed as like depressed or anxious or any of this, it's like, that's totally normal to be dealing with all of those big emotions when you're in a time of your life when like everything is coming to like fruition.
Yes. And like literally the only constant in our lives is change.
Right.
Like, our emotions change at a drop of a dime. Our life is constantly changing because there's so many things that are so unpredictable in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's truly hard is that, how can I come to terms with, I have this plan. I have this life event that I know, like, I want to be married by this point and having kids by this point and blah, 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 blah. And this radical acceptance of,
that's not going to happen.
It never happens the way you plan. And I thank God every day for that because how am I supposed to know what exactly I need every single moment of the day where if I can just check in with my body, check in with my emotions, check in with like what I need that day, that's a win.
Mm-hmm.
And like one thing that like I've really shifted for myself was like I used to like vent journal all the time. Things pissed me off all the time. Mm-hmm. And I get really annoyed and I bottle things up a lot. Everyone who knows me is I hold it and hold it and hold it in. And then it tsunamis out and I tell you every flaw you've had for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's very not healthy. And so I was journaling more about that. And I realized, I was like, a lot of my journaling is so negative. And because I like to reread my journals too, just to be like, how was Tia like in high school? And like, how was Tia in like college? And recently I was like, I don't want, and this is like morbid too, but like when I die, someone's going to see these. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want everything to be so pessimistic and negative. So I bought a new journal and I was like, okay, I'm going to do 5 gratitudes, 5 manifestations, and 5 affirmations every day. And even if, well, I kind of skip some days and I kind of clump days. But either way, I was like, this is going to be such a mind shift for me, because when I like am frustrated and upset, I dwell on the negatives. Mm-hmm. And I'm sick of, for myself, living in this space of, why am I focusing on the negative when there was good moments in this day? And by using that journal, I've been able to like really sit with things and be like, just because I had one bad encounter, I don't have to like sit with that. I get to choose, right? Like I get to choose, like, for my own mental health, does it make sense for me today to like sit in this uncomfort, sit in this anger, sit in this frustration? Or can I recognize this is what I did well and this is what I can improve upon and like manifest, like, okay, next time I get really frustrated, I'm going to use my I statements and I'm going to talk in a calm manner. I'm going to work on what I have control over, because at the end of the day, the only thing I have control over is how I communicate my needs.
Right.
Like I literally cannot control the weather, how people talk to me,
yeah,
what triggers them.
How like, your life pans out.
Literally, I have, and I think that's the scariest part about being human is like we have to relinquish this control, because we all want control. We all want to like feel safe and secure. And I just started this journal like 2 weeks ago, so it's still very new. But I've noticed like it's really been a nice way to like end my day. And I end my day with like a better mindset of like, okay, yeah, today may not have been like the Taj Mahal of days, but it was still a good day.
But also like to your point of like, can't always have a good day or can't always be happy. It's like you're recognizing the sad moments or the mad moments or all those different feelings, but you're not dwelling into those or letting those control the next day then.
Right.
As, you know, as best as you can.
Right. And there's definitely days where I'm not good at it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes us human, is like we get to decide how long we want to sit in the shit emotion. And like when my grandpa got diagnosed with cancer, like I was in a shit mood for a long time. And now I'm at that point where it's like, okay, I've radically accepted that there's literally nothing we have control over. Mm-hmm. And as long as like he can live his life the best way possible and like how he wants to, I will be happy.
Yeah, I guess that's a hard piece to deal with too, as, you know, a kid or young adult too, of like having to deal with grief or really heavy emotions. Oh, like obviously that plays a huge role in mental health. And
a huge, huge role.
And that's even, I don't think, as talked about really. And
no one talks about nobody wants death.
To talk about it.
And no.
I sure as hell don't have, I don't know how to. I don't know how
no
to.
No one teaches us.
Approach that, or friends that have had deaths and families and stuff. And it's like, again, recognizing I've been very fortunate that I didn't have a family death until I was 17.
Yeah.
At an age where I could
articulate and feel.
Understand. Mm-hmm. And like, unfortunately, that one was very tragic and, you know, kind of incomprehensible, but it was like,
yeah.
I was at an age where I was like, I felt the anger, I felt all of the emotions around it, instead of being 6 and being like, what do you mean they're not here? Or like, they're, that kind of stuff. Or again, like with grandparents.
Yeah.
All my grandparents passed post college. Like I was like, this has all been recent. And it's like, they live their best life, like whatever. But like dealing with that kind of stuff, or even worse, I mean... It's like hard to say worse than death, but like people do deal with a lot of stuff that's sometimes worse than death.
Yeah.
As it feels a like young a kid death. Or as like somebody that just isn't 100% emotionally like supported, I guess is the best way to put that. Because like, I think we're all, susceptible to being depressed.
Oh my God.
Anxious.
Mental health does not like, discriminate
all
between.
All of that. But it's the anything. Support, I feel like, and this is me speaking as not a mental health professional, I think it's like the support that you receive around all of that that helps in what that turns into. Because I can confidently say there have been times that I have been very depressed, very anxious, very whatever. And at that moment in life, if I were have gone to a professional, they might have done something about it. But I think like working through it, myself or friends and family and having a very good support system behind me.
That makes a huge difference.
Made a huge difference in how I like handled the situation, mm-hmm. got through it, and like healthily chose to like make different choices, I guess, around it. Yeah. And I guess that's like just so like from my perspective. And that's not to say it's like, mm-hmm. oh, it's a choice whether you are depressed or anxious. But I think there's like, especially at like pivotal moments of your life, there can be things that happen around your life and mm-hmm. in the support that you get and everything that can help influence like, is this going to be something you struggle with for the rest of your life, or yeah. are you going to get the help that you need?
Yeah.
Professionally or just
your support system
around yeah. you at that time. And
it's so hard too, because I think it's like a lot of gauging like where you're at, and I think that comes back to like that self-awareness. And like with therapy too, like it's only gonna work if you want it to.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go into it like, this isn't gonna work, this is stupid, you're right.
Yeah.
It's not going to work, and it's a waste of your time and money. Don't do it if you're not ready. And, like, circling back to, like, grief stuff, too, like, our culture doesn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
You have a funeral, and then you're supposed to just forget about it. Grief is something that is with us all of the time. And, like, mm-hmm. I like to think about it as, like, the ocean,
mm-hmm.
where sometimes, like, the ocean's really nice and calm and hits our ankles. It can feel soothing. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. It's just right.
Yeah.
Sometimes it gets up to our knees. We're feeling a little unstable, a little rocky, but we can still do everything we need to do. And then it gets to like chest height. And that's so much harder,
mm-hmm.
where it might knock us down. We might tumble around in the water, and we need someone to help us out of the water to get back up. And then there's tsunamis, where it is so intense. And when I think about grief, like we don't know what it's going to be every day. Like, you could be hit with that tsunami for weeks on end and just feel so intense. Or maybe you have it at your ankles. And grief follows us our whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not something that we can be cured of or anything. And I think that's because we are creatures of wanting connection and wanting support. And may it be a death, may it be a divorce, may it be an end of a relationship, mm-hmm. or just something where there's an end of a chapter, there's grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a culture, we can do better by checking in with our people, talking to our friends and our family and all those people, and not being afraid to talk about people who are gone, especially with death. Like, I think that's something like I've truly learned about taking like more grief trainings as I've graduated from grad school. And there's really not a wrong way to go about it, except for if you're insensitive.
Right.
If you're insensitive, it's not going to go well. But like just asking about like, how are you feeling? Or tell me your favorite memory about your grandparents. Or mm-hmm. tell me like your a time where you got mad at them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I think that's one part about grief too, is that our relationships with every person aren't all rainbows and sunshines.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we can talk about, like, yeah, my loved one who passed away, worst yeller ever.
Yeah.
Or what, I don't know.
They made the worst ham on Thanksgiving. Yes.
And we all said,
yeah.
Thanks.
This is good, Grandma.
Yes. And, like, I think it's beautiful to be able to talk about those things. And I think prior to, like...
And express the emotion that you're feeling with that.
Oh, my gosh,
which I definitely felt a lot when, like, my grandma passed away. And I think both, like, just, like, coming from such a close family and, like, mm-hmm. having the matriarch of the family just, like, got dethroned. Like, she's gone. No, there's no one in charge of us anymore. Like, what do we do? I'm feeling all these things. And, like, grandma's not going to be here for, like, this, that, everything. Like, there's 16 cousins and, you know, there's going to be 16 significant others. And then there's going to be 32 children that she's not going to see.
Right.
How do we, like, keep going when grandma's not here type thing? And that's, like, again, I was fortunate enough to deal with that at an older age, understanding it and all that. But
having a good support system.
But dealing with all the, like, you know, oh, I remember this one time, or rehashing it with people, or being like, I don't know if, like, grandma ever really knew this about me. And then you get sad. I don't know if she knew who I truly was or what I really like all this. Like, I didn't get to have this conversation with her and stuff like that, where it's, like, talking that out, especially if it's, like, as a kid or somebody, like, I no matter what age, I mean, don't want to speak for my mom, but I had multiple conversations with her that it was just like, just air it out. Like, tell me everything. Like,
it's fun to like hear about like our grandparents when like they were
just parents, like not grandparents, or like the stories about, because like I lost all my great grandparents, like most of my great grandpas died when I was like two, mm-hmm. and like my great grandmas, I had some all the way through college mm-hmm. into grad school. My last great grandma passed away when I was in grad school. And, like, just talking to my grandparents about, like, what their childhoods were like and, like, mm-hmm. learning about, like, my great-grandparents.
Their life.
Yeah.
Pre-us. Life.
Literally, who would have thought?
Yeah.
But I think it's so cool because, like, that helps grief. Just, mm-hmm. like, having those connection points and, like, talking about those things. Or, like, if it is more fresh or not fresh or whatever it may be, sometimes it's just sitting with that person mm-hmm. and just existing. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes, like, that's enough. It doesn't have to be, let's talk about your feelings. Mm. I know, like, some people don't like to talk about their feelings, which is okay. And I hope that you can find a way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a time and a place to talk about those things. And there's a time and a place to, like, avoid it. And a time and a place to sit with it and sit next to it. And a time and a place to, like,
and sometimes hate the world. Bottle up. Just as, yeah. like, you and I are very similar with our anger. Yeah. Where we bottle all that up and take it out on the first person who decides to piss us off the next time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I unfortunately think the same thing can be said to that, too, is that you can only bottle up grief for so long or mm-hmm. tragic experience and trauma mm-hmm. that's happened to you. And yeah. you can only bottle that up for so long until it affects
your physical
every
health.
Aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. Mental, physical, spiritual.
Everything under your like, sun.
Like, everything. It's like, mm-hmm. it just, that's where it's like recognizing yourself that you need help or that you need to do something about it, or having somebody around you that recognizes it and like either forces it upon you mm-hmm. or nicely suggests. Like, I think that's important. And that's like kind of going back full circle is where I think that's becoming more of the norm. And I think it's being recognized more in school settings, and people are more aware, and there's more people in positions around children and young adults and like that mm-hmm. kind of stuff where it's recognizable and it's like being brought up more, I think. Yes. And like, I think that's great, especially mm-hmm. you and I in coaching roles. It's like, we are at a point with like dealing with the younger generation now mm-hmm. where it's like, it's important for us to recognize that if we do notice mm-hmm. something like that, that we're having a conversation mm-hmm. or like not overstepping like a boundary there, but like talking to the parent or mm-hmm. like pulling the kid aside and being like, you don't seem yourself. Like, is there something going on? And like trying to help that kid, where I think even you and I growing up mm-hmm. and like I was fortunate that my swim coach was a therapist, which had its blessings and its curses.
I think my kids think that about
she
me
would
too.
Pull me out of the water so fast and be like, I recognize that you're not having a good day, and I'd be like, just leave me alone,
let me swim.
Like, I'm not having a good day, but I just want to swim it out. But like that, like she probably was the one that kept me in sport for how long I've mm-hmm. been doing it, because it was like I had somebody at an influential time in my life that was recognizing like something's wrong, like mm-hmm. what's happening, let's talk about this. And I was like, oh, I don't want to, but whatever. I mean, if it gets me out of this swim set, I guess I'll talk to you.
Or if I talk about it quick enough, I'll get back in the water.
Yeah.
But I think it is hard too, because it's definitely like this delicate dance of finding a balance, right? Like finding a balance of checking in versus not overstepping versus whatever. And like when I think about like coaching in particular, like I always wanted to be the coach that kids can come up to if they're having a bad day mm-hmm. or if like they're having an off day, hey, let's talk about it. Like, I don't want to hound you and like mm-hmm. be that asshole that's like, I expect excellence all the time, which like I do. I expect you to give me your energy and effort. And I have like one kid in particular that I think about, really bad family situation. And like, I know when they sleep at ex parent's house, they're not going to practice well. They're not going to play well versus their other parent's house. And it's us checking in of like, where are you at today? Mm-hmm. What can you give today? And I think that kid has played longer because of that. Because mm-hmm. I've never wanted to be a coach where a kid's like, I hate this sport because of my coach.
Right.
Because like, I've had moments like that with some sports. Sad. And even like with soccer too, for a while, it was like that for me. And I never want to be that person. And I think mm-hmm. that's like very much like that mental health side of me too. That's like, hey, I want to check in with you. I don't want to be in this toxic environment where I expect that you do this, this, and that. I don't give a shit about your feelings. I don't give a shit what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather it be more collaborative. And I think one thing I really appreciate about where we're moving to is, especially, like, I love working with kids because I can help them have that language now that it's going to help them for the rest of their life. Where some people, even into adulthood, have no idea what their emotions are, don't know how to check in with their body and what their body's telling them. And, like, if you have health issues, like, with all my stuff, I was like, I can't tell if I'm anxious today or if I'm super constipated or did I eat something I'm not supposed to? Yeah. Like, and I've been able to, like, learn that about my body, and I want that for every single person because we're not given a roadmap or, like, a guidebook when we're born of, like, this is what you need to do step by step. We're like a choose-your-own-adventure book. We're, like, constantly learning as we're going and, like, flipping back and to pages and going forward.
Once you turn 24, the book's lit on fire.
Yes, and then you gotta figure out how to put it back together.
You gotta figure out how to put it back together.
Gotta figure out how to make the binding.
Without tools.
Right. Just your two hands. But I think it's exciting and uplifting to know that our world is taking those steps forward to, like, have more of these conversations and having an outlet in space. And maybe I just see that more because I do it every day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what other people would say about that if they're on the outside looking in who don't do therapy or don't understand therapy. They may not know that or see that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think I see it a lot because I put myself in algorithms to see it, I guess.
That's,
it's like,
true.
I follow accounts that are, you know, talking about that or following professionals, following like accounts that kind of advocate it. And I think, like, you were just talking about this with, like, coaching, and I think that's, like, oh, I feel like I could talk a whole episode about that.
We should.
But I also don't know, like, I would just, like, say the wrong thing or things would come off wrong because I think, like, mental health in sport is so hard.
Oh, it's so dicey.
Who was I talking to the other day? I was like, if I were to tell somebody some of the ways that I've dealt with my own, like, health in sport,
or how
it
we
would
were
be
taught to.
The most toxic advice I could give somebody.
Oh.
Of, like, I have used doing ridiculously hard things to, like, get through something. Like, I didn't want to deal with the emotions that I was feeling when I was in college. And so instead, I decided to train for a marathon.
But that's,
and,
like,
I didn't want to
super unhealthy, though.
Right. Or making, you know, again, like, us conversation that we were having this morning around, like, fueling yourself.
Yes.
And, like, making these weird conversations in your head of, I can't eat this because I, or, you know, making rules about food as an athlete, or only eating food because I know I'm going to burn it off later, or, like, having all this, like, mental stuff going on in your head. And that's hard. And, like, I can't even begin to speak to it because I think it's something I know it's something I still struggle with. Mm-hmm. Balancing, like, the performance and, like, the health of sport and mental health of, like, is this a healthy coping mechanism or am I overdoing it? Or
which it's all about balance too. And one thing,
and I think all endurance athletes are running from something. Like, all of them are dealing with something in their head.
And you are doing amazing, and I hope you also get help too. But one, like, cool thing that I think is, like, slowly developing more and more too is, like, sports psychologists.
Yes.
So, like, are going to school specifically to help athletes with their mental health because it is such a toxic environment, and we're put on this, like, very high pedestal of, like, perfectionism. And there's no such thing as perfect, no matter what athlete you are, what sport you are, whatever level you are. And I think it's so intense, the backlash some athletes get. Like, Simone Biles, for example.
Simone Biles, that's the first one that came to my head.
Like, she got so much heat when she took care of herself. And, like, everyone is a human. Everyone deserves to have their emotion, deserves to have their anxiety, deserves to have their depression. Like, that's what makes us human. Like, we were given this wide range of emotions for a reason. And we need to be more conscientious of how our language is towards people who are taking care of themselves.
Right.
And our culture is so quick behind a screen to say they're not as good of an athlete anymore because they dropped out or they didn't compete anymore. They suck.
Or they're not mentally strong enough to be here. And I've, like, personally see that a lot, both with like the coaching level that we do for like the kids is they're at the highest level they can be at for where they are at their age.
Yeah.
And we're getting them prepared to
take that next step.
D1 schools and compete at the highest level and race around the world at the highest level. And it's like,
it's intimidating.
That takes a lot. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of mental strength.
Yes.
There's a lot of people in it that don't have the mental strength to be in it, and they push their way through, and they are very successful.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hard to, maybe you don't know. I mean, there's plenty of Olympic athletes out there that struggle that we have no idea because they're not publicly talking about it.
Right.
There's a lot that are, but like you said, then they get labeled and it's, oh, they're, you know, they're not going to make it in this sport anymore because they can't take the heat. And it's like, there's so much of that that people would rather just push down because they are successful, even though they're dealing with a lot of shit behind the scenes.
Right.
And it's like, how do you, that's where
it's vulnerable
I see the most mental health, because I think that's where I'm most drawn to, like, the conversation, because it is, I feel like we've all normalized the, oh, I'm sad because my dad died type conversation, but we haven't normalized the, I'm dealing with a lot of shit and I'm putting my body through a lot of strain at the same time, and I don't know how to handle this because I'm only 12.
Right, like, and I think about that even true for, like, Broadway people.
Yeah.
Or, like, people who act or are like, it's literally every profession, everything that you have to do something perfectly to make money.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be mental health with that. One of the biggest injustices in our world, there's many, there's so many.
This is just one.
This is just one of a million.
Millions.
But I think the biggest injustice that we're doing to children is not teaching them coping skills and communication skills in school.
Yeah.
That's and, not
done. And taxes, but yeah.
And taxes, yeah. My mom still helps me with mine, so like, yes.
That's number two, that's but this number is number two. Yeah.
There's so many, again, millions. And I think about that because, again, we're never taught.
Yeah.
You are
and
taught.
And that goes hand in hand. Like, we don't know how to cope, so I'm just going to go
blow up.
Go to the gym, and I'm going to throw weights around that instead.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think of that as a healthy coping mechanism. Personally,
it is.
And my sometimes I'm in a bad mood turns into I just ran the best 10 mile run in my life.
That's when I run the best.
Or I was in a really shitty body image day. I need to prove myself wrong and do something.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, where it's like, that isn't the most healthy. It did get me through it. It did get me a PR, but I can't talk about that because then I'm associating a really good success with something really effed up, really.
Like, when it's like frustrating too, because when we think of anger, that like fuels us,
right?
Like, we get an energy burst when we are angry, and that's just like a natural body thing. So like, you working out is way healthier than blowing up at somebody, you know what I mean? So it's like the grand scheme of things. But I remember back at Carroll, I took a education 101 class because I was trying to figure out what I wanted to minor in. And it was really funny. Tim actually took that class. Oh. And we had no idea we both signed up for it. And we showed up the first day and we're like, hey.
We know you.
I know you. But at that point, so this was sophomore, junior year. I can't even remember what year it was. Probably sophomore year. So that's what, 2015, 2016. At that point, it's been over 100 years that our school education system has not adapted and changed. Can you picture over the 100 years,
crazy
technology, how much that's changed, how much more history that's changed? And just, there's so many things. And mental health, apparently Mental Health Awareness Month was in 1949.
Right.
So you're telling me that in this time frame when they're like, ooh, Mental Health Awareness Month, let's talk
it's
about this.
It's important enough to have a month.
But not important enough to put it into our school curriculums? Like, like, I would gladly go into school and teach dialectical behavioral therapy as a class to kids to teach them, how do I emotionally regulate? How do I have distress tolerance when I'm really, really struggling and I can't cope, but how do I still get through this? How do I interpersonal effectiveness? How do I communicate with people? Walking the middle path. How do I get my needs met and respect someone else's needs at the same time and come together? And how do I do that all mindfully? Checking in with my body, checking in with how I'm feeling, how am I communicating, and all of these things.
And deal with the pressures of life that are often not taking into consideration our mental health.
And get harder as you get into adulthood.
Right.
Because, again, we're kind of taught these things depending on your
family. We're getting all worked up here.
I am. I'm getting heated. Yeah. I feel it. I feel it brewing.
We're going to scream at someone pretty quickly. We ride a dawn.
It just frustrates my soul because that would make such an impact on our world and probably would like make people nicer to each other. And I know we live in the Midwest, so like people are genuinely nicer and like smile and wave at each other, but they're still going to be the asshole. And I understand that. There's always a bad apple.
I think it's unfortunate. Like, one, obviously, the fact that people have to struggle in the first place.
It sucks.
The fact that there are traumas and things that happen that
should
put
not.
Us into places that we have to deal with things that we shouldn't even have to fathom ever thinking about.
Exactly.
But the fact that we look back at it and it's like, there's certain things that I'm like, I'm just kind of glad that happened because it made me grow. I grew from it. But, like, what would life have been like if I didn't have to?
Yeah.
You know? Again, we're talking about this on a very small scale here.
Yes, we are.
Like, little stuff, bigger stuff, whatever.
Traumas.
Like, would my life have been different if I didn't have to deal with that? If that didn't happen? Or if I didn't spend 3 years, you know, in this bubble of being, you know, whatever, unsure and sad and... I don't know. It's like the fact that we do have to go through stuff like that. Unfortunately, I think sometimes it's like you learn from it. But there's a lot of people that don't.
Right.
Or they don't know how.
Yeah.
They just flat out don't. Or it's just so traumatic. They never get the support they need. They never... I don't know.
And everyone's so different too. Yeah. So I even think about how we're born, right? Like some people are just naturally more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are more susceptible to being highly emotional, and that's not something we have control over. That's just like how we were born to be, you know? And one of like the biggest things in like dialectical behavioral therapy is that all the things that happen to us are not our fault, and it's still up to us to live the best life that we can. And it's up to us to decide, how do I want to get through this? And I think that's that resiliency piece, which we can teach. Like, that is something that you can grow and you can find, but it's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
I say this probably more often than not. I should, like, trademark it and get paid every time I say it. But, like, it's so hard being human. And, like, none of us chose to be human. That was not something that we have control over either.
I would have gladly been a cow.
Yes. What country has, like, the nice cows that, like, don't get eaten?
India? Oh, yes. They're sacred there.
We want to be there.
I want to be a cow in India.
Yes. You know what I mean? Like, I think
there's
so, like, to be human is so beautiful and delicate and frustrating and so chaotic and constantly changing. And, like, we can still make a life worth living.
Yeah.
And, like, when I think of, like, Mental Health Awareness Month, like, I wish it was every month because every person deserves to have that check-in point, deserves to have, like, my life is hard and... I can get through this.
Right.
And it's not giving up on yourself. Because once you give up on yourself, that makes it a lot harder.
Right.
To like come back from. And you can come back from that.
But having the tools and like the way to get through that, the supporting yourself and stuff. I think that's the hardest piece there.
Especially like you're saying,
it's not taught. Like,
no.
And I think like there's so much talk about like there being a mental health epidemic
especially of young COVID.
People right now.
Oh my god.
And it's
yeah.
like, well, no shit. Look at
you
what's raised them. Like
for years.
They've been isolated. They've been given
pivotal
complete
brain
freedom to
years.
Literally anything on the internet.
Yeah.
Pivotal brain develop like or yeah, times in their life when there's and it's like it's kind of really sad to see like the kids that are graduating college this year, I believe, are the ones that were born during 9/11.
I don't know. Well, we were in kindergarten when 9/11 happened.
Yeah, so the kids graduating college are 4 years.
Oh, God. That makes me feel really
like,
old, too.
During that... Born into this world during that time.
Right.
I just saw on TikTok yesterday, the kids graduating college this year are the same ones who didn't have a graduation during COVID.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately right now, there's stuff going on with schools in the country that they're... Some schools have canceled graduations because of that. And it's like, you're having a generation of like that. All of those are like big things going on in their life. But like
grief,
a whole generation affected by some of the most like messed up stuff ever.
Yeah.
And you're honestly expecting them to be okay. While yes. not giving them any skill. Help, support, anything. It's like, mm-hmm. I joked with Tyler the other day. I'm like, the only time I ever watch the news is when I'm at the gym because it's just on. Yes, and I'm like, it's on for 5 minutes and I feel depressed because I'm like, mm-hmm. what in the world? Like, literally, what in the world is going on?
Yeah, it's always negative.
And it's sad. And it's like, there needs to, like, especially when we have so much stuff going on in the world that we can't, mm-hmm. we don't like or whatever. It's a whole different topic. But
yeah.
that we know that this shit's going on and we're still not doing anything to, like, or I guess there's no bigger effort right. going into making sure that that's supported. And now we have lost generation that's growing up yeah. with this, with parents and caretakers and people that have raised them who have also had been going through very
intense
life mm-hmm. situations too. And it's like, to your point, it's like, we're not implementing this into, like, we all know how to divide fractions. I don't anymore.
Yeah, I was like,
but like,
you gave me a math problem right now. I do not feel confident.
None of us, when we were in third grade,
but knew how to equals cope. MX plus B.
Yeah, Y equals MX plus B.
I got that
and
one.
And the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
We write it down.
Not sure how to deal with grief, but I know those two things.
Great. And I hope that someday that does change.
Yeah.
That we can implement that more and more. And I think with building awareness of, like, what is therapy? What does that look like? And how can it be supportive?
Not know? Such a disconnect of mental health and health. Because yes. I think it's, and this is me speaking yeah. as one, not a medical professional, and two, an athlete that's all for having PE class. But why do we have physical education and not mental health education?
That's a good in question. School?
Because it's like, we do the nutrition piece. I mean, most kind of the time, of. Not until we get into high school.
Right.
But we hit that. We hit physical every day from yep. when we're, a wee lad. Again, very important. But why aren't we also equally as making the mental side as important yeah. as the physical? Because it's like every school in the country has initiatives to, like, get kids more active and, like, do this and join a sport. Why aren't we having, like,
let's talk about emotions.
Recess for I don't yes. know. It's like, maybe that's very, like, hippie of me to think. But
I appreciate your thought process because, like, I want the world to
why
also
why isn't that
focus?
Mandatory?
Right.
We have to be in an English class. We have to be in a math class. Why can't we have to be in a health class? Like, I don't, whatever that looks like, there's a lot to learn.
Okay. Speaking of health too, this isn't really mental health, but, like, I'm learning so much more about the female body outside of school than I've
right.
ever yeah. learned because I'm taking that time to learn it. So I think mm-hmm. too, with mental health, of those of you that, like, don't really know a lot about it and don't know where to go, like, there's a lot of really good resources out there mm-hmm. from, like, people on TikTok who are therapists. I mean, obviously, like, cite your sources, look into yeah. them, see if they're, like, legit and if they have the training that they're supposed to. But then also, like, there's so many books of, like, different theorists
yeah.
that are really amazing and just, like, can give such good insight of, like, what is mental health and, like, reading things and talking to people about things and
just
being curious. I
having
think,
a professional to talk to.
Yeah. yeah. I hope our world continues to be curious about mental health. Because mm-hmm. I think the more curious everyone is about it, that's when more questions come up of, like, why is this not in school? Mm-hmm. Like, if we can just be curious as a collective, I think that's what's going to help destigmatize mental health and perpetuate everyone having access to some sort of learning of mental health. Yeah. May it be in school, may it be creating a summer school class or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It could be anything, but I hope within our time on this earth, we get to see that
yeah.
grow.
Make a world of a difference too, generation.
Yes. I'm hoping.
Well, thank you for joining us for this week's mental health episode. We have a few more planned around this theme for the month, with a super fun interview at the end of the month with Tia's coworkers, Carmen and Ashley. So that'll be a good one to look forward to. But we hope that just by being a part of the conversation and normalizing feelings and emotions and talking through it both from Tia's professional insight and my non-professional insight that we can kind of be a part of the conversation and bring awareness to it. So happy Mental Health Awareness Month, and make sure that you're taking care of yourself and checking in on your friends, checking in on your family, and making the best out of every day. We'll see you guys next week.